Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, Thomas, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, but I got a real problem with you, David.
A problem with me, buddy, getting a long line.
I think I need an apology.
An apology? You crazy? I'm a man. Men do not apologize.
Fine. It's a duel then.
What's it going to be? Whittler branches and whittling knives?
Imagine my white glove right now to slap David across the cheeks.
Ow! Oh, Thomas. Honestly, so what is our topic today?
How to apologize like a Christian man.
Wow. You know, that is something. Apologizing is part of everyone's life. And whenever I think about apologizing, my mind goes back to a 1990s sitcom. You maybe have heard of it. It was called Seinfeld.
Ooh, I like Seinfeld.
Yeah. Do you remember the one where George Costanza's dad, it was around Christmas time, and I don't know what the title of the episode is, but it's now known as Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us. That didn't celebrate Christmas, and they all got together, something like maybe they were going to wrestle each other, but it started with the airing of the grievances. And George's dad said, I got a lot of problem with you people, and I'm about to tell you. And he was going to air his grievances. You remember that one?
So, yes, I do. And that day they celebrate Festivus was on December 23rd. And just so you know, my family, my mom, my dad, my side of the Majors family, we celebrate Christmas on December the 23rd every year and have for many years now.
So do y'all air grievances during this Christmas celebration?
Not typically, but we have a few times over the years. It's not a scheduled event most of the time, but sometimes it just kind of comes up during the conversations.
Gotcha. All right. So right now we're in the Christmas season. And you just mentioned that you guys celebrate on December 23rd. Whenever I pastored on the east side of Mississippi, I've had multiple families who call December 23rd Christmas Adam. Do y'all call it Christmas Adam?
I have never heard of that a day in my life.
Really? So this is what they would say. There's Christmas Day on the 25th. There's Christmas Eve on the 24th. And there's Christmas Adam on the 23rd. I'm going to tell you, I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You probably have offended all of our listeners.
Well, that right there sounds good. Honestly, apologies and being offended and even offending people kind of goes with the territory. Kind of goes with territory being sometimes Christians, sometimes being pastors is part of our lives in general. Being offended and apologizing.
I hate apologizing. I absolutely despise it.
Yeah.
Because in some way, I'm recognizing that I have done something at fault. I have hurt someone else. I've done something wrong, inappropriate. There's a wound on someone because of something I've done. And it takes a lot of humility, a lot of swallowing of pride to be able to apologize. It is really a tough thing. And men aren't that good at it.
I would agree. I think that ladies maybe are a little better with it. Now, I would say that on typical, you know, the typical lady would be more in tune with emotions. And I think if you're more in tune with emotions, then you can see emotional distress in the lives of a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a person at church, and you might recognize that more easily and then be better at apologizing for the hurt feelings. Where, dude, sometimes I've hurt people's feelings. I didn't know it. I was oblivious to it. And so, yes, I think that guys, anyone who is less in touch with their emotions would be not as good at apologizing or let it go on longer. That wound that you mentioned, the longer it's there, the more it's going to fester, and it makes the apology more difficult.
There was a guy I pastored in another town, not here in Ingomar, but just had another pastor at another church. He said that he did not forgive and he did not apologize to people. He said if someone ever hurt him or if someone ever disrespected him in any kind of way, he said, you know, they can give an apology if they want to, but I'm not going to apologize and I'm not going to forgive. And he said, he called it waiting them out. He would say, well, I'm just going to wait them out.
What's he waiting for?
For that person to die.
Whoa.
I'm serious.
I mean, that may be years or decades.
That's right.
Wow.
He would not have anything to do with them at all. Wow. And he'd say, I'm waiting them out.
That is interesting.
What he was waiting on was that person to die.
Yeah. Wow. Now that is shocking. I didn't expect that story to go in that direction. Huh.
And I bet there are a bunch of men who have probably not put that into words yet.
Yeah.
But they live their life that way.
Yeah.
They live their life. Hey, if he's done something to me one time, that was one time too many, and I'm never going to.
Yeah.
So there's a lack of forgiveness. Hmm. And sometimes men, on the other hand, when they do something wrong, they're just hoping that people don't remember it. Or sure. They don't bring it up.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's not good Christian reconciliation, is it?
I totally agree. It is not. And it is not good for the person. Many years ago, whenever I was serving as a youth minister at a church in Alcorn County, somehow, some way, I got on a cassette tape distribution list of a Sunday school class that I think was in the Memphis, Tennessee area. I have no clue who the Sunday school teacher was. I have no clue what the church name was. I have no idea now, but this was years ago. This guy taught a senior adult men's class. So my assumption is that he was a senior adult. So I'm saying like 25 years ago, he was probably 60 or 70 at the time. I'm assuming he's dead now. But he told a story from years back when he first got into. He was like, worked on a construction job site. And his first job, maybe he was 16 or 17. I think he was like still in high school. His job was on a construction site. Now I understand men can be men. No, we're not legitimizing bad behavior, but just men on a construction site, it would be different than ladies working at a JCPenney.
Right.
And so there were things that would go on this construction site, and the foreman of this site, let's say the foreman was 40 years old and this guy was 16 or 17, in a belittling way, in probably a comical way, he was making fun of this boy. And this boy, who years later is teaching an adult Sunday school class, this boy, he said, I decided I was going to kill him. He said, I decided in my heart, I'm going to kill him. If I ever have the chance, if it ever cries, this guy was not a believer at the time. He said, but I determined in my heart, I'm going to kill him. And he said he eventually quit the job, maybe even moved away. And he said years passed. And he said, coming out of a gas station, little country place, no cameras, nothing like that. Could have been no evidence. He said, I saw him. And he said, the first time I thought of it, he said, this time, he said, I'm 40, 45. And he said, this man would now be 65, 70. And he said, I thought, here's my chance. And he said, but by this point, I'm a new person in Christ.
Amen.
He said, by this time, he said, I looked at him and he said, I said, that this is an aged senior adult. You better not even think about doing what you had determined in your heart all those years ago. And I think he went up to the guy, shook his hand and said, you know, you probably don't even remember me, but we worked together years ago. And I want to thank you for the time that you invested in me whenever I was young guy, still in high school, but you taught me a lot of what I use in my career right now, blah, blah, blah. Went in a really good direction. Yeah. And he was saying that he didn't know how long he had harbored that hatred toward this guy that he had determined he was going to kill.
Yeah. Until he saw him that day.
Until he saw him.
Until probably he saw even him. Forgot about it. Until probably he saw had. Him that day and thought,
yeah. Yeah.
I got a killing date for this guy.
And so, and I don't remember now if the guy apologized for, you know, because, you know, sometimes people, when you see people you haven't seen in years, like at a class reunion, if I were to go to class reunion right now, I would start out by saying, for all of you I offended, I apologize. That's what I was saying. But I don't think the guy ever apologized. But as men, we are not good at apologizing.
You know what that reminds me of?
What does it remind
me of? Is it Billy Madison?
How in the world are you going to use a Billy Madison illustration in this podcast?
Isn't it Billy Madison who calls the guy up and tells him that he's sorry for picking on him so much when he was in school? And that guy was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate that. And he gets off the phone with him and he gets out his little piece of paper and it says at the top, people to kill. And it had Billy Madison's name on it. And he scratches Billy Madison's name off of it.
That is very similar. Very similar. Hey, you know what's interesting? You know, sometimes apologies, they can actually go in a bad direction. So what would lead an apology to go in a bad direction?
All right. So I think when a person says, I'm sorry if, that if is conditional. It's kind of like they're saying, well, it's only bad and it was inappropriate if it hurt you. Mm-hmm. And I think
you would as well.
I think we would argue that, you know, something is right or wrong based upon whether it's right or wrong, not the perception of it and not the way the person took it. But there is a definite right and wrong.
Yeah.
And it's either right or wrong to apologize in that sense. So when we begin to apologize to someone and we say, well, I'm sorry if that offended you.
Yeah. Yep. If that is interesting, right? Almost places the blame on the victim.
Exactly.
Like, you know, that was a hilarious statement and it shouldn't have offended you. But if it did, then I'm sorry. You know, it's almost a thought behind it.
Right. And a way we could reframe that would probably be even, I'm sorry that my words hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that puts it all on the person who said the words, you know, I'm sorry that wounded you. But if we use that word, if, man, that's a big one. There's another one too.
Yeah. What is it, Thomas?
It's big too.
Oh, it's big. It's big.
But.
Most apologies have big butts, and I cannot lie. I'm sorry, but yeah, very similar to that statement of if. Yes, so if is not a good word to have in an apology, but is not a good word to have in an apology. And what if the person doesn't know that you were the offender? It can hurt your relationship with that person. Let me tell you a story. I have a ministry friend. After we stop recording, I'll tell you who it is. I'll tell you all the details. This ministry friend had a difficult go of things and never could pinpoint why he had a difficult go of things at this church in this ministry. A number of years, Rockon, things got better. And the person that made the ministry situation so bad, out of a guilty conscience, came up and said, hey, I need to confess something to you. I apologize, but I'm the reason your ministry was so difficult initially. And that person has told me every time he sees that person, he had no clue. Every time he sees him, he thinks, man, you low down sorry thing. And that's what he thinks every time he sees the person now.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's interesting. He had no clue. He had no clue what this person was doing behind closed doors around the corner that harmed his ministry. But every time he sees him, he thinks of it now.
That brings up a good question.
Okay.
He apologized for doing that, but this person didn't know it was him. Is ignorance bliss sometimes?
Dude, ignorance is bliss. Absolutely. I think it is in some situations, I would rather be ignorant of what someone has done to offend me than to know what they've done and for them to apologize. It is hard to make apologies. Thomas, sometimes it's hard to hear apologies.
Yes.
Over the past few weeks, nothing huge. I've had two people come and just say, hey, I need to apologize to you about something. And when both of them walked in my office, I knew it was different situation, different scenarios. I knew what it was. Honestly, neither was worthy of an apology. Neither was. Now, it did. It led to a 5-minute conversation here. It led to a 12-minute conversation there. All was fine. Dude, I was. They didn't have to come in and apologize. It didn't bother me like that. So, yes, ignorance is bliss, I think.
I agree. And it sounds like maybe by this person apologizing, caused a wound for the guy, whoever the pastor was or whatever the situation was in that. That's very interesting. But I think, you know, as we're talking about right now, typically we do need to apologize because they are visible. They're apparent. The wound, the hurt is apparent in another person's life. So we do need to apologize. So I'm sorry, but, and another one too, that men are really good at. Let's just move on. Let's not talk about it anymore.
That's right.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's to keep from admitting wrong, to keep from, to putting yourself in a bad light or a vulnerable position. We like to be strong. We like to be in control. We like to think we are perfect and that we never hurt anyone's feelings. And so moving on, sometimes in our minds is the best option, but it leaves business unfinished, you know.
And the best thing to do is try to find reconciliation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that's what the Lord would want us to do, is to find reconciliation. I mean, if you think about it, like, we've sinned against God, and that sin against God brings this break in relationship. But God sought reconciliation with us, even to the point of sending His Son. And so there should be a desire of every person for reconciliation if there's been some kind of hurt. Yeah. And apologies should not necessarily be a defense of your actions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Sure. And sometimes, you know, you and I were joking about this before we hit record, that the similarities between apologetics and apologizing, or apologizing like with apologetics, and then apologizing because you're sorry. And some apologies do sound like, well, apologies, like they're making a defense for what they've done. And that shouldn't happen either.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. All right, Thomas, let me ask you a question. I'm going to tell you a story of why I'm asking this. How many times should a person apologize for said wrong or to said person? How many times?
77.
No. Quit getting biblical. 70 times 7. Oh, that's so
490. You're at 489 right now.
Only one more and that's it. Oh, man, writing that's you so off, funny.
Waiting you out, buddy.
All right, years ago, I was pastoring in a town, and there was someone who used to attend that church. And I asked a question. Why does this person no longer attend this church? I had been around this person a time or two. I tended to like this person. And I thought, boy, that family would fit in well. And there was someone there who answered my question. This was a difficulty between two ladies. And I said, basically, why does she not attend our church? And this lady who was a member of the church said, because she wouldn't stop apologizing to me over something she did. I said, what are you talking about? She said, years ago, before you were ever the pastor here, she said, that lady wronged me. And she said, it was, and she told me the story. Now, I don't even recall. It seemed legitimate. And she said, she came to me and apologized. And she said, I was ready to move on. Hey, I accept your apology. Don't you worry about it. Hey, my feelings were hurt. I can get over them. And she said, about once every 3 weeks, she would come to me again and apologize. And she said, she kept bringing up, she said, I couldn't then move on. And she said, I finally had to say, hey. And she said, maybe I was a little forceful. Maybe she was ugly. But she said, her apologizing had to stop. And she said, then I offended her. And she and her husband left the church and never came back. And she said that they basically left because this woman continually apologized.
David, that's interesting. She was willing to ask for forgiveness from the person, but it sounds like she's not really sought forgiveness for the actions.
I hadn't thought about it like that. You may be right.
She didn't want that person to have some kind of debt charge over her, but yet there was something within her own spirit or soul that kept causing her. So she might not have been repentant to the Lord about that.
And the Holy Spirit was continuing to convict her, and she was trying to make amends with the person she'd already made amends with.
Exactly.
Instead of the Lord. Wow, that's interesting. So our apologies to brother or sister or to other person should also go hand in hand with their apology to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that I offended him.
Exactly,
or her.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Huh. So there is a connection between apologizing to the Lord and apologizing to a person.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think one's got to flow from the other.
Absolutely. Which should come first?
Greater to the lesser. I would say
start with the Lord. Start with the Lord. And then that'll even give you some, hey, when you go to that person and apologize, say, hey, I want you to know I prayed about this. I have made this right. Dude, I have just remembered a story that is fantastic. It's one of the best I've ever heard. You might remember this. Years ago, there was a student at Blue Mountain College while sitting in church history class. It was acting like a moron. And the professor, Dr. Douglas Bain, called him out. And afterwards, in the office of our beloved Dr. Bain, the student who had been acting like a moron apologized to Dr. Bain and then said, "Can we pray together?" And that student is a friend of mine, and he told me that changed Dr. Bain's opinion of him almost immediately because they prayed about that together. Do you remember that story?
I kind of remember it. I do remember the student made a 48 on the test, big boy. Well, you made a 48 on the test, big boy. I think it said student was me. Because I remember being mad. Boy, I was mad. I was so mad at Dr. Bain. And I went home and the Lord with me all over the place. It's like, you were in the wrong. You need to go back and apologize to him.
And you prayed with Dr. Bain, right?
I did, yes. I was like, Dr. Bain, I just would love it if we could pray together. And so I prayed. I said, Dr. Bain, please let me pray for you and for us. And so I prayed for him specifically. And then I said, amen. And I was like, all right, Dr. Bain. He said, wait, let me pray for you.
How about that?
And then he prayed for me. And I think that is a true test of forgiveness and seeking reconciliation. It is very difficult to stay mad at someone or to hold a grudge at someone or to keep some charge over them, you know, some debt kind of over them if you pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pray for the Lord to do something with them. And I was definitely in the wrong. I mean, I remember. he was a great, kind, patient man. And I told my wife about it and she was like, yeah, he should have. Greek ninja should have kung fu chopped you in the head or something, you know.
So a good apology doesn't use the words if and but. A good apology should have prayer before, maybe even prayer during or after the apology. And a good apology should admit the error. What else should a good apology do?
So Amanda, my loving, beautiful wife, we have three kids, and those three kids typically on most days were very kind and gracious to one another. Wait.
Oh, hang on.
Did I say that right?
Are these the same three kids I know?
I said, wait, most days they were not kind, gracious, and merciful to one another. So there was a lot of apologies that needed to happen on a regular basis, especially when you're homeschooling three kids, you got them all together. And so my wife always made the kids, if they needed to apologize to the other about something, it was like a formula they had to say. I am sorry. They would say something like this. I'll use you as an example. David, I am sorry that I offended you. Mm-hmm. I know my actions and my words hurt your feelings. Will you please forgive me?
Yeah.
And so it's very clear statements. You say what you have done, how that offended the other person or hurt the other person, and then you immediately ask, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. And either that, there were times that the kids would say, no,
I ain't forgiving.
Just wait till one day I see you coming out of a store. You're 60 years old.
Where's that pocket knife? Oh, man.
But men, I think, and especially Christian men, should be forgiving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we should be forgiving, and we should seek forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We should seek forgiveness, especially with the Lord. I'm struggling right now because earlier we said there's sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Oh.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
If it's a wrong that's been wronged.
Amends need to be made. Forgiveness. Apologies need to be extended. Hopefully forgiveness will be reciprocated, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought. So, yeah, so I guess we have to live in that world. Would we rather be ignorant or would we rather be faithful and forgiven?
I would dare say that our listeners, if you've made it this far in the podcast, there's probably some people that you are a person, maybe people, but at least a person whom you need to talk to and you need to ask forgiveness. I would just encourage you to begin now to pray about that. Pray for an opportunity. You don't have to make it. You don't have to drive 10 hours down the road to go do it, but begin to pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity and that you would be willing and receptive to take that opportunity when He presents it to make amends with another person. You know, as men, we do a lot of difficult things. We're willing to put our bodies on the line. We're willing to work long hours. We're willing to do really tough things. So when it comes to like an apology and asking forgiveness, we need to do that too, even if it is a tough thing.
So men out there who are Christians, follow the example of Christ. Lead in a godly way that points others to forgiveness. And when you've messed up, apologize. We're so glad that you joined us today. Please tune in again next time.